From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Like many parents, Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth has been frustrated by the CDC's handling of the most recent mask guidance for vaccinated people. We spoke with the senator yesterday about this, as well as divides in her Democratic Party, infrastructure, and the Biden administration's plan to withdraw troops from Afghanistan. In order to make our schedule work with the senators, this interview was taped Wednesday afternoon, so we are not taking calls for this first segment. Our lines will be open later in the show, and you can always let us know what you thought by emailing or leaving a voicemail. You can find all our contact information on our website, 21stshow.org. Here now is our conversation with Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth. Senator Duckworth, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being with us today.
Oh, it's good to be on. Thanks for having me.
I want to begin by asking you about COVID-19. A lot of parents of children younger than 12, like me, like you, have been frustrated with a lack of specific guidance from the CDC, especially after the mask mandate for fully vaccinated people was lifted a couple of weeks ago. On Wednesday, you sent a letter to the CDC asking to clarify mask mandates. Can you talk about what you are looking for as a senator and as a parent?
Well, both, because I just want some clarification on what is safe, how I can best safeguard my children who are 3 and 6. I'm still wearing a mask. So if you see me around on the floor or anywhere else, I'm still wearing a mask. And you know, it's really hard for us to figure out as parents, what do we do with our children? Fine, I can go out to dinner with my husband, but you know, my understanding of the vaccine, now that we're fully vaccinated, is it's not that it prevents you from catching it. It's that it's 95%, 99% effective to that if you catch it, you're not going to get a moderate or severe case, but you can still catch it. And we've seen numerous instances of people who have been vaccinated, including other members of Congress, who have then tested positive and were actually positive with it without even realizing it. God forbid I bring that home to my kids who can't be vaccinated.
Do you feel like, I've heard from parents who say like, boy, it seems like the CDC really just missed the ball on like forgetting about parents with children younger than 12 with this latest set of guidelines. Do you feel that way?
I do feel that way. I feel like they rushed to get some good news out. And I think they were trying to, I don't know what they were trying to do. Let me just say that because I'm not at the CDC, but it appears to me as if we were trying to get some good news out or we were trying to be proactive. And then people are tired and all of this, but they completely forgot about those of us whose kids can't be vaccinated yet and how that is still difficult for us at home, but also for our employers. I mean, as an employer, I have an office here where I have a lot of staff with young children. And, you know, some of my staff were like, well, we want to go back to work. And I said, well, nobody is going to come around me who's not wearing a mask. And they're like, well, you can't require that as an employer if the CDC and science says you don't need it. I said, well, no, science hasn't said that. Science just said that, you know, I'm not going to get sick in a way that's debilitating because I've been vaccinated, but I don't want to bring this home to my kids. And by the way, so I've told my staff, listen, you have to make your own decisions for your children. But, you know, any of my staff members who have young kids who can't be vaccinated, I'm still going to continue their telecommuting, making those accommodations because God forbid any one of our children gets sick because one of us brought something home.
Yeah. I want to ask now about another issue. This is the idea of the possibility of a January 6th commission to investigate the Capitol insurrection. Legislation has been approved in the House, but there are your Republican colleagues in the Senate have signaled opposition to this idea. Can you talk about, do you think this is important to go ahead with this commission? And what are the odds, do you think, that there will be bipartisan support from your colleagues in the Senate?
Yeah, I'm really disappointed because, you know, members of both parties came together to a bipartisan agreement on a commission to investigate the events surrounding January 6th in the House. And in fact, Leader McCarthy sent his negotiators into the negotiations on what this commission would be like. And my understanding is he got everything he asked for. And then Donald Trump complained and he flipped. So it's really disappointing, although not surprising to me, that Republican leaders in both the House and now the Senate are looking to block this commission. I would hope that Senate Republicans would support the legislation so it can move forward. We only need 10 votes. But if they vote as a block and vote no and block it, it's going to be sending a clear message, in my opinion, that Republicans would rather stand with Donald Trump than with the truth, and they would rather defend traitors and lies than defend our democracy and support our Capitol Police officers who, you know, have indicated that they really would like to have this commission. They really would like to know what happened. Because the best thing that we can do for the Capitol Police officers who were so heroic on that day is to have a commission so we can have the lessons learned on what we can do better to equip them and prepare them and support them so that they can do the jobs that they are meant to be doing, which is protecting all of us.
You know, this seems to be of a piece with a lot of the Democratic agenda right now, President. Not to say that I realize you're saying that is the commission should be bipartisan, but turning to the Democratic agenda, President Biden's agenda, whether it's infrastructure or voting rights, we have heard repeatedly from Republicans. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, for example, said, quote, 100% of our focus is on stopping this administration. We're confronted with severe challenges from a new administration and a narrow majority of Democrats in the House and a 50-50 Senate to turn America into a socialist country. On your side of the aisle, though, some of your Democratic colleagues, namely Senator Manchin, West Virginia, among others, have withheld support on some of this legislation and are opposed to removing the filibuster. Can you talk about, has the Biden agenda run its course so far, unless Senator Manchin, maybe Senator Sinema from Arizona, are willing to consider changing the filibuster rules?
Well, I just want to say that what you need to remember from the quote from Mitch McConnell you just read is the first part, because he said that about the Obama administration, that his job is to stop the Biden administration, just as his job was to stop everything that President Obama wanted to do for the American people. And that everything else after that was just propaganda on his part. Let me tell you something. I spent 23 years in the Army defending our democracy and fighting communism all around the world. I would never stand for anything that would threaten our democracy. That said, I will say that, you know, we had a victory today. Actually, we reported out of committee unanimously the a highway bill. And then just a couple of weeks ago, I led the water and sewer infrastructure package, which got over, which came out unanimously out of committee and got over 90% of the vote in the Senate. Last week, we passed the anti-Asian hate crimes. It got every Senate, only one voted no on it. So I know there's bipartisanship. I know we can make it happen. So I'm ever hopeful. So no, I don't think the Biden administration's agenda has run aground or has run out of steam. But it's going to take Republicans truly wanting to work together in earnest and not doing everything that they can to stop anything, even the good things from happening. You know, the American Rescue Plan, for example, had money in it for state and local governments. Those were state and local governments all across the country. That was money for, there was money in it for schools. Our kids could go back to schools. And the Republicans objected against that. Not a single one voted for it. How do you vote against getting our kids back in school? How do you vote against getting money to your local states and local governments so that they can do the job they need to do? So yes, there's this tendency to basically be the Trump party and to be anti anything that President Biden or any Democrat wants to do. But they do come forward from time to time. And I think on infrastructure, you're going to see some bipartisanship. I really hope so, because we're seeing it for the smaller bills, for the water bill, the sewer bill, and now the highway bill. We got unanimous support.
But that's across the aisle. What about within the Democratic caucus? Senator Manchin, are you and other Democrats, you know, having conversations with him? I mean, you know, there are political pundits out there who joke that he's the real majority leader because he holds that crucial 50th vote and is thought to be the most conservative member of the caucus. Are you appealing to him to move on, you know, either the big voting rights package or some of the more human infrastructure legislation?
Yeah, I don't. You know, this is a conversation the Democratic Party is having across the spectrum of all of our members. It's not just about Joe Manchin. It's not just about any other single senator. We are all talking about this. And by the way, Joe Manchin said that he did not outright oppose the talking filibuster. So know that there are certainly conversations within the caucus going on about some of the things that we could do short of a full filibuster, you know, getting rid of the filibuster. And I think a lot of Americans think already that we have a talking filibuster. And you tell them filibuster, they imagine, you know, Wendy Davis standing on the floor in Texas, or they imagine Mr. Smith go to Washington. They don't realize that you could actually mount a filibuster and go to Cancun if you wanted to. There are things that we can do. But you should know this is an active conversation within the Democratic caucus among all the members. So we're not going to single out any single member for their views, because I think we are having that dialogue internally on a regular basis.
I like that idea of the talking filibuster. I, for one, look forward to seeing some of your colleagues reading Beowulf or something like that on the floor of the Senate. you mentioned infrastructure, so let's talk a little bit about that. The president has proposed a $2.3 trillion infrastructure bill. He calls it the American Jobs Plan. Republicans have countered with a $1 trillion version. What specifically would an infrastructure bill like this mean for Illinois? What size should it be?
Well, let me tell you what the American Association of Civil Engineers have been saying for several years now. Our nation's infrastructure, roads, rail, and bridges across the country are a D-minus grade. And they have estimated anywhere from $1.5 trillion to $1.7 trillion just for that infrastructure, that transportation infrastructure of road, rails, bridges, and airports. That would get us to a C grade. And Janet Yellen has said we need to make this investment so that our economy doesn't go into a stagnating economy. And also so that we can compete against Germany and Japan, places that have A grades for their infrastructure. Right now, for example, for Illinois, you know, our locks and dams in the Mississippi, some of them actually are still using wooden pickets, you know, a design from 200 years ago. We have a bridge right now that goes from Tennessee into Arkansas. Why do I care about it? It's on I-40, and right now they found cracks in it, and they've had to shut it down. And all of the truck and freight traffic has backed up into Illinois. It's costing tens of millions of dollars per day to our economy. And so we desperately need this across the country. We're all interconnected at this point. The $1.7 trillion that the American Society of Civil Engineers have talked about, that's only for the surface transportation. That's for just transportation. And we haven't even talked about broadband. If anything, 2020 taught us we all need access to broadband. It is to this century what electrification was in the 19th century, 19th and early 20th century. And so we right now have 20 million households in this country that don't have access to broadband. That means those kids in those households cannot do homework. Something as simple as that. It means that their parents who are telecommuting cannot do their jobs. We're the richest, most powerful nation on the face of the earth. How is that possible? We need to make these investments.
I also want to ask you about Afghanistan. Since we last talked, the Biden administration has announced that U.S. plans to withdraw from Afghanistan fully by September 11th. The Pentagon this week has reportedly accelerated that withdrawal. Meanwhile, since the announcement, al-Qaeda has promised a, quote, war on all fronts. Is this the right move?
Well, my question is, what is the mission? The military has done its mission. Now, if we want to nation build in Afghanistan, and if we want to protect the women and girls in Afghanistan, and if we want to oppose al-Qaeda there, then we need to put the money into the State Department. The military's mission is not to nation build. Their mission is to destroy the enemy and hold the ground. They've done that. And so if the American people, you know, wants to send the troops back in for a new mission, then let's have that argument on the floor of the Senate, and let's have a new authorization for use of military force that states what that mission we want the military to carry out would be. And then let's have a vote on it. But as far as the troops who were there, I think they've done and fulfilled the mission that they were asked to do following 9/11 with those authorizations for use of military force that was voted on by Congress in 2001, 2002, and 2003. That's why they're still there, is based on that authorization. Now, if we want them there for some other reason, to oppose al-Qaeda or something, then let's have that conversation here in the Senate, and let's have that vote. Because for too long, members on both sides of the aisle have been hiding behind the AUMF from 2001, 2002, in order to not have to cast that tough vote. And frankly, we've been asking military men and women to do a mission that is not their job. It's not their job to nation build. They have been more than courageous, and they fought over the same plot of land over and over again, losing friends, losing buddies, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 deployments. And we haven't lived up to our end of the bargain. They go every time we ask them to go, but we haven't lived up to our end of the bargain by giving them a clear mission, telling them what their end state is and what those off ramps are. And the missions of you know, protecting women and girls and all of this, that's for the State Department to do. Let's have that vote and put money into the State Department for things like USAID and the Peace Corps and all of these programs that we should be supporting, so that we don't have to send in the military to go kill people and hold territory, because that's what the military does.
Important things to think about as we head into this Memorial Day weekend. Senator Tammy Duckworth, thank you for talking with us today on the 21st.
So good to be on. Thank you.
Tammy Duckworth is the junior U.S. Senator from Illinois. She's a Democrat. We spoke with her Wednesday afternoon. Coming up, the former right-hand man to former House Speaker Michael Madigan has been indicted. Federal prosecutors are accusing him of lying to a grand jury. He denies the charges. We'll talk about what it means with a reporter who's been following it closely. This is the 21st. Stay with us.